What we will be having tonight is the topic of embrace who you are, and we have been so lucky as to get Kim Woodward, the wife of Ben Woodward, on for this, so we're really looking forward to that, Kim. And we know that you have a very busy schedule, and you have also recently moved. So, but tell us a little bit, you know, about your background.
Okay, well, you know, I kind of have learned a lot in the environment that I've grown up in, but also some of the most valuable lessons that I've learned has been in different roles that I've had, and one of them was, well, I think the biggest one has been a mother, but also I have been the president on a local level of a global women's organization that is the largest and oldest women's organization in the world. But also, as well as that, I've also been the president of a young women's organization for 12 to 18-year-old girls to help guide and direct them in the path that they choose. So I've had quite a bit of experience working with both young girls and with older women who come from all walks of life, have all different kinds of challenges, all different kinds of successes, and really worked on how we can work together as women.
Which is wonderful. And I mean, like Charlotte and I, we organized these events. We didn't do the introduction on that, so I'll go a little bit back. Charlotte is in Sweden at the moment, up in the mountains, so, and we have some bad connections there as well. But she's in the background and supporting there. So yeah, and she's up there with her family and also her little baby girl. And Kim, you have a big family to take care of.
Yes, I do. I have 6 children, one extra one if you count Ben. So I have 7. But, it's very busy. It's very demanding. But I use the gifts and talents that we have as women of multitasking. Just before I jumped onto this call, I had my 21-year-old who's just pulled everything off the shelf. Dribbled all over my shoulder and pulled my hair out. But that's what we do. We get on with it as women, and we make it work.
Exactly. And you still look nice and cool and everything. We saw you a bit earlier on, and although you don't get the photo or the picture on just right now, but we see the beautiful photo of you on the presentation. So still keeping nice and calm regardless.
Yes.
You have, as you said, you have an interesting background with having worked with large women's organisations, and you have sort of worked with other types of organisations as well, with the younger people and all different ages. And this of, you know, when we talked to you before the webinar, you said this of drawing up on your differences and your experiences and things. What do you have to tell us more about that?
Well, I could just begin by just giving you a little bit of a background of my upbringing.
Yeah, sure.
So, just to give context to what I'm going to share, I guess, which is, as all of us, our upbringing really defines who we become as adults, and it's important to derive the lessons that we gain and use them in a positive way if we can as we grow up. But I grew up in, I would say, not a very privileged area. It was a rough area of Liverpool in England. We frequently had stolen cars driving up and down the street. Sometimes they would be crashing into the neighbors' homes. But I guess it's something that we just learned to live with. It was just crazy at times. But as you can imagine, it's such an environment was not a place for a child to grow up. And I learned very early on that if I wanted my circumstances to change from that environment, then it would be my responsibility to change them. Not necessarily my parents or my brothers or family, but mine. But there's a thing in Liverpool where they don't want you to change. They want everyone to just stay where they are. They don't want to see improvement. They just want to keep everyone at the same place. So I had to really fight for that, fight to get out of that environment and change my circumstances.
Yeah, I actually lived in England for 3 years, but in Manchester, and I guess it is kind of a little bit the same working cities as in industrial types of cities and background, and you could see, you know, the rough areas there. I know what they can be like, and it takes courage to get out of it. And you probably, I don't know the English word for it, but in Norwegian we have something we call jomfruloven, which means this, that, you know, people want to pull you back and you shouldn't really think you are anything or any better than other people, etc. And it requires an effort to get out of it like you've done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if you heard of Hans Smith's craft theory, but I'll just remind you of it. I'm sure most of you have heard of it, but Hiram Smith is a well-known author, obviously, and motivational speaker. He said that when he was younger, he went to the beach with a group of friends, and they had a bucket. They wanted to collect some crabs, so they put water in the bucket and proceeded to collect crabs. Now, Hiram Smith noticed that some of the crabs were trying to climb out of the bucket, so he said to his friends, quick, we need to get a lid to put on this bucket because they're going to climb out. And his friends had said to him, no, we don't need a lid. They won't get out. He said, but they're starting to climb. He said, they won't get out, just watch and see. And what he noticed was every time a crab tried to climb to the top of the bucket, another crab from below would grab its leg and pull it back down, and no crabs would get out of the bucket. And he called that his crab theory. And I think sometimes in our lives, I said, you know, growing up, is that we are desperately trying to get out of this bucket that we find ourselves in. But those around us don't necessarily want us to get out of that bucket, so they will pull us back down. And you know, sometimes that will be loved ones, because they feel like they know what's better for us, or they feel like we might get hurt, or we might lose hope, so they try and pull us back down. But we really need to believe in ourselves and our abilities.
Very true, absolutely. You know, you mentioned also this of it's okay to have the qualities we have and do something that works for us. And I mean, you got out of your environment and then kept going from there. You mentioned also three categories of women.
Yes.
What did you mean by that when we talked?
Well, I think from what I've learned from working with women, and also not just from working with women, but from learning myself, from my own experiences, is that there are three different things that, as women, we tend to do, which aren't always good. And the first is that we often compare ourselves, not just to women, but to men also. And when we do that, we put ourselves in a very dangerous situation. You know, each of us individually, men and women, we all have these individual character traits, individual talents, and we really need to utilize and draw upon those talents in being ourselves, not someone else, but in being our very best selves. And there's one that I frequently say to my daughter, and I used to frequently say to the young women, don't be someone else's best self, be your best self. Because when we draw on those skills and qualities that we have as women and as individuals, that is when we will make the greatest difference. I mean, I'm sure we all know someone who, probably growing up in school, who so desperately tried to be something that they weren't, in attempting to be popular, in attempting to have what someone else has. And often, that just doesn't work. It really doesn't work. We need to draw upon our own experiences. We need to draw upon our own qualities and our skills, which often we can see as a hindrance, but if we use them in the right way, they can become a real blessing to us. And Helen Keller's a wonderful example of this. She's one of my heroes, really. You know, obviously deaf, blind. She could have very easily stayed at home and not done much with her life, but she utilized the qualities that she had, incredible courage, determination. I can't imagine the amount of patience she must have had to do the things that she did. She published 12 books. She was a political activist. She was a lecturer. She She's the first deaf and blind person to ever obtain a bachelor's degree. She was outspoken in her convictions, and she spent much of her late life raising funds for the blind and serving others and doing good for other people. And she used her talents and her abilities, regardless of her circumstances, to bring out the best possible outcome. So, yeah, so I think as women, we compare ourselves too much. And we often see the very best in others and the very worst in ourselves. So we can look at someone and say, but look at all of these skills and qualities that they have. And we see all the very best. We don't see behind the scenes what they go through. Everyone is fighting battles that we don't know about. We often see the best front of that person. But then when we look at ourselves, we see the very worst in ourselves. So if I could give any possible advice, it would be be your very best self, not someone else's self. And you'll be well on your way to fortune and happiness.
Very true, absolutely. And with one question then, how someone sort of go about learning that we are actually good enough? I mean, you worked with a lot of different people, women, different age groups, etc. And they're sort of learning how to be good enough and build on our strengths. What do you have some comments on that? Where do we start?
I think we start by learning who we really are and finding what our purpose is. Because once we understand who we are and where we want to go, that is when we're able to pursue that direction. If we're trying to pursue someone else's path, then we will often find ourselves falling off that path. We need to know who we are, we need to know what we want, and we need to pursue it. And it's not something that will change overnight. It takes daily effort to look at ourselves, see our qualities, and bring them out. I'm sure any of us who are mothers, and I'm sure there's lots of women on the call who are mothers, our children become a reflection of who we are. And I have learned so much as a mother through my children, because they will reflect who I am. And that's been able to teach me things that I couldn't even see in myself, what they see. And so they've been able to bring awareness to me. Some of the things that I need to change, because I wasn't even aware of it. So the first thing is becoming aware of the qualities that we have, seeing whether those qualities... Now, I'm not saying that all qualities that we possess will allow us to be successful. Sometimes certain qualities will actually be negative rather than to the positive. So we need to look at that, and we need to see what works. And we need to go within ourselves and really be able to know in our hearts that what we're doing is right. I think, you know, going on to one of the other points of the things that we need to do is to not be moved. There's a really good poem that I'd like to share, and I'm sure you've heard this one before. You know, I like the simple things. They work well for me. I don't like things to be too complicated. But there's a poem, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but it's called Good Timber. Let me just share that with you. It says, "The tree that never had to fight the sun and sky and air and light, but stood out in the open plain and always got its share of rain, never became a forest king, but lived and died a scrubby thing. The man who never had to toil to gain or farm his patch of soil, who never had to win his share of sun and sky and light and air, never became a manly man, but lived and died as he began. Good timber does not grow with ease. The stronger the wind, the stronger the trees. The fairer the sky, the greater the length, the more the storms, the more the strength. By sun and cold, by rain and snow, in trees and men, good timbers grow. Where thickest lies the forest growth, we find the patriarchs of both. And they hold counsel with the stars, whose broken branches show the scars. Of many winds and much of strife, this is the common law of life." And I love that because we need to stand firm in who we are and where we're heading, regardless of what others say. But also in that, when storms come, which they will, we need to stand firm to our convictions. We will often have, in our pursuit of excellence, we will often face gale force winds of opposition, peer pressure. And yet, in order to succeed, we cannot be moved from our path while these storms beat against us. We need to continue to make good choices, right choices that we know to be right. I don't believe there are any small decisions. Every day-to-day decision that we make right now are of critical importance and can have far-reaching effects. They can affect many generations. It's often difficult to make the right choices because sometimes our circumstances, we want to stay within the ease. We don't want to step out of our comfort zones. And an experience of this for me is obviously very recently, as I'm sure most of you are aware, we have recently moved from the UK over here to California for Ben to take up his position here as president this weekend. And that was a really difficult decision to make. However, we knew instantly that it was the right decision to make. And so once we had made that decision, that it was right and it was correct, it became a lot easier to do what we needed to do. However, it still didn't mean that it was smooth sailing. You know, we've got 6 children. We brought them over here. The journey in and of itself on the plane was, I can't even describe what that was like. With 6 children, we had 19 pieces of carry-on baggage. We had 8 coats. We had every handful that we could possibly carry. Within 5 minutes of the flight taking off, our 4-year-old kind of arms in the air screamed and said, "Yay, we're almost at California." And we just had to laugh because we thought we've got a long journey ahead. But, you know, we had to get them into 3 different schools, into a very different culture. We've had to leave family and loved ones, which is the biggest wrench of all, is leaving family and loved ones. But, you know, when something is right to do, it's right to do, regardless of how difficult it becomes.
Very true. And the thing is, like, the important thing is finding the balance in all of this situation. I mean, I assume you would have had a lot of checklists, et cetera, in the moving process and getting everything over. But with regard to balance, you know, the focus on balance, that's important for you.
Yes, absolutely. You know, balance in life is where we will find our real peace because, for me, you know, sometimes if I do too much, then I will often just become my worst possible self. And we need to know where the line is and have a balance in all things. You know, as women, we are required in today's society to be so much. You know, we are working women, we are homemakers, we are mothers, we are wives, we're daughters, we're businesswomen, we're role models, we're sisters. We have so many roles to play, often more roles than what a man has to play. And we need to know and understand what things on our list are less important and let them go. Never let things that matter most be at the mercy of things that matter least. Understand what is vital. Understand what is vitally important and what isn't. And sometimes that's difficult because what we think of is something that we really want to do isn't important. It's difficult to give up. But in the world that we live in today, times have changed so much for us as women, and we have so much more on our plate than what we've ever had before. And we're trying to juggle all of these different balls. We've got them all in the air. And at some point, it will become too much. So we need to know and have balance as to what we do and how we do it. And make sure the things that we're doing, the things that we're spending our most time on, are the things that are going to give us the most benefit and that are going to bring to us the most worth. And knowing that as women, all these differences that we have. I there's a wonderful clip going around on Facebook that I saw yesterday, and I just thought this was just really sums up so much what I feel on this subject of womanhood and coming together as women. Is that and on this clip on Facebook, there's a group of women in a park, and you've got they're all women with babies, and they're all different kinds of women. And there's a group of women who are they're out there in the park and they're all breastfeeding, really comfortably out there breastfeeding. And then you've got another set of women. They're all in suits and shirts, clearly just come from a business meeting, and they've got their babies in their prams or their buggies. And then there's another group of women who are doing yoga in the park with their babies strapped to them in, little carry slings. And then there's a group of stay-at-home dads who are in the park, and they've got their babies, and they're bottle-feeding their babies. So there's all these different groups. There ends up being about 10 different groups of women, all kind of battling with each other, saying, we're breastfeeding, and we had natural birth, and we started our child in this preschool at 1 year old, and all of these different things, which, as women, we all have these different ideas of what we want our children to be. We have different ideas of how we want to bring them into the world and how we want to raise them, and that's fine. That's good. But all having this battle against them as to which is best, which way is best. And at one point, one of the buggies kind of goes down a hill and starts to roll very quickly towards the lake. And in the midst of all of this argument, everyone quickly notices the buggy's gone down, and they all run to the buggy together. And they grab hold of the buggy, and they're all standing there, all together, and looking at each other, and with a huge sigh of relief that the baby's safe. And that, to me, just sums it up. It's okay to have different ideas. It's okay for us to see the world in a different way, and that's good, and we should embrace these things. But when times need to, we come together. These different ways, but we need to come together as women and strengthen one another and not criticize other women for the way that they choose to do things. They're being their best selves. We need to be our best selves.
Exactly. And like you were saying earlier on, that something will always have to give way, but, we all make our own choices. And whether we are this type of person, like you said, one doing the yoga, one doing the business, or one doing whatever. But then when it comes to it, we can cooperate and work together really well. And but what's also what I liked about the picture you painted with these women is that the fact of embracing who you are, in each of these, they feel they belong to one group and are happy perhaps in that group. And you've also, when we talked to you before, that was one of the things you also said, this embrace who you are and be happier. Will you share a little bit more of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think what I've seen, just going on from the what I was saying about this, how society has changed. There's this big idea, I guess, some time ago of equality, and women have to be, from what I've seen, just like what men are, in order to succeed and achieve what men succeed. And I just think that although I agree with the background of women should be completely equal within the work environment, I believe that it's been taken too far. And what's happened is I feel like women are trying to become more like men and have the qualities of men. And that actually ends up being to their detriment. As women, we know we have these skills that men don't possess, and we need to utilize those. Because many, many successful business women, women within MeCan or other industries, one thing that I have seen is that they embrace the difference. They embrace it. They don't try and go against their womanhood. They don't try and go against their what is naturally just within them to be. They accept who they are. They know who they are. They have great self-esteem, and I think they have that great self-esteem because they're not trying to be something they're not. They've accepted who they are, and they are just using those qualities that are naturally within them to bring out their very best self and be their most successful. And when they do that, that's when they end up being the most successful, rather than discouraged by what they're not achieving. They see the things that happen, which others may see as negative. They actually take those and they apply them back into this cycle and churn them out into a positive learning experience. Because we know, like a toddler, we know it won't always go the way we want. But as we take both positive and negative experiences from our lives, that's when we will actually become our very best selves.
And the thing is, like you said, of being successful, it's not that women don't want to be successful, because we do. And we want to be just as successful as the men. But the thing is, perhaps not in the same way, like you've been talking a little bit about.
We don't need to do it in the same way that men do it. Because we can be equally, if not more, successful than men. We just don't have to do it in the way that men do it in order to achieve it. We can do it in the way women do it, which often will bring the better results. But I just often see women not only compare themselves to other women, but they compare themselves to men and think if they do something the way a man does something, then they will achieve what the man has achieved. And actually, the most successful women do things the way women do them and become... And it takes a lot of courage to do that, because society now tells us that we have to be aggressive. We have to be... all these qualities that we see in old-style successful businessmen. But the reality is that there's a new swathe of messaging that goes on in the business world now, and that's actually showing that this aggressive form of business that we often see portrayed by men in movies or in other environments is actually the least productive way of achieving things. Now it's more sincerity. It's loving the people that we work with. It's showing our qualities, like I said, being sincere. And obviously that never takes away from hard work. That is always a must. Hard work is always a must. But we need to love people. And that's where we will have success. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, I can see so quickly to be someone who... is doing something for the wrong reasons. And I really find that difficult to be around, because it doesn't bring the best results or the best outcome. And I really believe in learning from difficult lessons and making them become our strength. And there's a fantastic poem by Robert Browning Hamilton, and he talks a little bit about this. He says, "I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she, but all the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me." You know, and we can learn so much from our bad experiences as well, from our positive experiences.
Absolutely, and the thing is that in doing that, that's also part of shaping us, like you said, with your background and the experiences you've had, also the thing of moving to another country, etc. So, you know, we pull all of those things in addition to networking. I mean, women are good and sort of natural networkers in connecting with other people, and like you said, with the thing of being successful, you know, if you're supposed to get the most out of people, then you have to work with them.
Yeah, and we need to work as a team, and we need to want what, we also need to want not only what's best for us, but we need to want what is best for them, because we can't do it alone. We need, as a team, as with womanhood in general, we need to work with each other, and as we strengthen one another, and as we work with one another to allow others to achieve their greatest potential, that is when we will receive the most back. It will always come back to us. And this is why I say, you know, we need to love others, and we need to want what's best for others. Because I really believe that when we give selflessly of our time and our energy to others, it comes back in abundance to bless us. sometimes it comes back, it'll come back in a way that we didn't intend, or it'll come back in a way that we didn't see that it would come back. We think it will come back in a particular way. Sometimes that's not the way. But I'm sure we can all think of an experience that we've had where we've done something for someone else, and we've done it out of genuine interest, not out of any kind of way to get something back. But when we do it with that kind of heart, it always comes back. It always comes back to us. We should always be doing rather than just listening. We need to do.
There's something where one says, give us game. And like you said, you know, if you give, you might not get it straight back from the same source, but you might get it from elsewhere. So that's also a nice thing with it. You know, you put something in and you will somehow get something back, and you learn and grow in so many ways yourself as well.
Yeah. And, you know, we need to let our light shine. You know, we have this incredible light within us, you know, and the Nikan distributors in particular, they have this light, they have these messages that they want to get out there, and their message is one of care and concern. And, you know, recently I went on a cruise with Nikan for some people who achieved a certain position. And as I was talking to them, all of them were saying, you know what, the stories that came out were ones of, you know, we met this person and they were struggling with this, and I knew what would help them. I knew this product would help them, or this particular product. And you've got incredible stories of genuine, sincere love for people that has brought them to the successful positions that they've come to. And it came out of really genuinely wanting to help.
True. And I think there are, you know, of those I met in Nikan, that's exactly what it is. There are so many people who really want to help others, and we have such a great opportunity to do that. But then, again, you know, being women, then we also need to build on what's inside of us and sort of bring that forth in order to help the most amount we can. So yeah. But you also, another factor is the thing of mental strength in this, because I mean, you looking back at your background, you came from where you came from, it requires certain mental strength to get out from the situation one perhaps is in, or to pull yourself up to another, to a new level and keep growing. So what do you have to say about the importance of that?
Well, any life experiences that we come through, we can use the good or the bad. We can take the positives, or we can take the negatives and let them fester inside us until it breaks us down. But for me personally, I never underestimate the value of hard work. And growing up in that environment, I knew that any chances that I had of pursuing something better would require a lot of hard work, a lot of mental determination to see my goal and not let anything get in the way from it, you know. And it was difficult, you know. I went to university, I worked hard at university, I lived alone, during that time I'd moved out of my family home. And life in general, what we've overcome, you know, I think people often see Ben and myself and the kids as, you know, people have made comments of, you seem to have it all, you have this perfect family situation going on, it seems to be perfect. But, you know, there's always struggles behind there. And, you know, I've had lots more pregnancies than I've had children. You know, I've almost died a couple of times in childbirth. At one point Ben was convinced that he'd be a single father raising his children, because it didn't look good. And, you know, and sometimes those things, although horribly scary at times, we just need to get through them and then take the lessons from them and use the strength that it can give, if we allow it to, in just making us all the more stronger. And knowing that at some future point for me, I know at some future point, all the lessons that I will learn will allow me to share my wisdom with someone else who's struggling, who's not either just recently been through that or is going to go through it. And so I use what I have, I've learned to share with other people that, you know what, regardless of what happens, you will get through it. There's always hope, and there's always a better day ahead. You know, we often have bad days, and they can really take their toll on us, but there's always hope of better days ahead. We need to be strong. We need to know who we are, know where we want to go, let our light shine, come together as women, embrace the differences that we have as women, and not criticize one another for those differences, but use them for our strength. And if we do that, we'll be well on our way to be consistently happy regardless of the outcome.
Very true. And the thing is, like you said, unless you've been walking in somebody else's shoes, you don't know what those shoes are like. So it is better to, you know, gain your own experiences and then share the experiences, because we can be then, you know, have the compassion with other people, because we can to a certain degree, although every situation and every person's life is different, then we can still manage, you know, to have an understanding of it through things we have experienced ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, do you have some, we always say that, regardless of if it's Sneaking Women or if it's other speakers we have on, do you have some final advice? I mean, you gave a lot of advice here now, but do you have something in particular that you will really focus on?
You know, I guess I've said it many times here on the call today, and it's because it's the most important message that I can give to outline. And the first is, be your very best self, not someone else's best self. Embrace who you are, your very best version of you. Stand firm in what you know to be right, regardless of what other people are doing. If you know it's right, pursue on that course, and stand firm, regardless of the storms that come on the path. And then the third thing, get out and inspire people. Let your light shine. Work with others. Do it for the right reasons, and it will always come back to you. And that's where you will really achieve an abundant and happy life and make a real difference in the world around you. That would be the most important message of that what I could give.
Thank you. And, you know, the thing is that what everybody wants is to be happy, and we have to embrace ourselves then, as you say, and sort of build on who we are, etc., and not pretend to be somebody else. We are good enough like we are. Although there are women out there thinking they're never good enough or they copy, but do rather, for all of you, take out what you have inside, because there's so much, like Kim has been talking about here, and share with, you know, other women, and we're great storytellers as well. We have a lot of stories, and those are also important to share as part of this. And Kim, thank you so much. As Charlotte and I know, you've been really, really busy, and it's been difficult getting you on, so we are so happy that you did take the time to get on this call, and you've had some really wise words to tell people, all of those listening in on it, and we know that there are a lot of people listening in actually today, but also later on with the recordings and so on. So this webinar is recorded, and it will be put out via the Royal Alliance's YouTube channel. McKinsey, if you take the next page up on the slide, or is it Charlotte? Yeah. Going a bit back again, then yes, we will be doing the recording, putting it out, and so on. We will have the next webinar in March, just after the big convention in Orlando, so we're really excited about that, and we will get back to you with the information about the topic and everything. We're also having a European Women in Power retreat, which we've sort of made a little bit of a marketing promotion of on the previous webinars as well, with regard to events coming up. And we can really recommend for you to come there. Barbara Cox, whom a lot of you would know, she is behind the Complete Balance product in Europe, but she's also a CEO of a company called NutriChef. She has some wise words to say. You will find information about that, what she has to say, if you go via the Royal Alliance website. Information has also been put out on the Facebook page of both Nick in Europe and Nick in headquarters. So do look into that. And we're really looking forward to gathering a lot of women there. And yes, I think that's it. Thank you very much again, Kim, for taking the time. You had a little bit of difficulties in the beginning, but we're very glad that you and also Ben sorted those technical issues out and you could get on. So, I'm looking forward to seeing you, I hope, then in Orlando. Will you be there?
I hope to be. Yeah, all being well, we should be. So it's been my pleasure to be on the call today. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome, and thank you very much. Okay, so that's it, everybody. Have a wonderful evening here in Europe, and then talk to you next month. And to those of you coming to Orlando, really looking forward to seeing you there. We will be doing something, so we'll get back to you on that. Okay, bye-bye.